This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. For over a century, lake trout offspring were not surviving through their first winter in Lake Champlain. It's something biologists call recruitment. So the state of Vermont has been stocking the lake with yearling trout for the past 45 years. The weird thing is that no one knows why the baby trout can't seem to survive. But over the last 3 years, something has changed, and it appears to be positive and significant, if also a little bit baffling. Here to tell us about that is Ellen Marsden. She's a professor of fisheries at UVM. Welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Thank you very much.
So I won't bury the lead. The information is you're seeing baby trout not just born, but survive in the lake.
That's correct. We started in 2015 looking in the right place at the right time with the right gear and suddenly found not just the accidental one or two wild fish, but a significant number of them.
So right place, right time, right equipment. Was it just that you weren't seeing them before or were they really not there before?
Both. We had tried sampling before in the wrong time, in the wrong place. Our captain has been or did this for about 15 years in Lake Ontario, so he knows where to look and he builds trawls. He knows how to do this. So it was very much a right technique, right place. But we know it had not happened before because the state assesses lake trout when they reach 6 to 7 years old in the fall when they spawn and had not seen any wild fish. So if they'd been there before, they would have reached maturity and been at the spawning ground.
Although now what you're seeing are fish that are 1, 2, and 3 years old, right? So there's no proof yet that they can make it to that 6 or 7 year mark?
That's correct. Most of the mortality in a fish occurs in its first year of life, what we call a critical phase. So by the time it's reached past its first winter, it's truly a 1 year old, the chance of its dying become quite small. So that's the bottleneck that we were trying to get through. We may have as many as 5 or 6 year classes or ages of wild fish by now, in which case we could see them any day. This fall, next fall, they should start showing up in the spawning populations.
So the young ones that you're seeing now, 1, 2, and 3 years, they're not spawning yet. But the older right. ones, this will be a kind of a monumental moment when you're seeing wild fish who, you know, sure, their heritage is from stock trout, but these would essentially be wild-born fish actually spawning naturally in the lake. Is that as exciting as it seems to be?
It's incredibly exciting. Both stages, the first appearance of the stocked fish successfully producing young that live, and then, as you say, even more exciting when those guys spawn and they start to produce their own generation. And at that point, we've got a self-sustaining system that is what we were trying to achieve for the last, as you say, 45 years.
45 years and more. I understand you were the state was stocking before that, but this sort of sustained stocking program has been going on since 1972.
That's exactly correct.
Maybe also we should back up and say you can tell the difference between a trout that has been put in the lake from a stocking program and one that's born naturally, and it's called clipping. Can you explain what it is?
It's called clipping. We need to be able to assess wild reproduction, especially since it didn't happen for 45 years. So at the very small stage, they nip one of the fins off. And it sounds nasty, but at that stage, it's probably relatively painless. But it immediately identifies it as a stocked fish. And it's done in a 5-year cycle, so you know sort of which year it was stocked.
Oh, as in which part of the fin is clipped? You can actually tell it's like a license plate sort of for the fish?
Very much. Which of the fins? There's 5. There's 2 front fins, 2 rear fins, and then the adipose fin in a 5-year cycle.
So, Professor Marsden, do you know why we're starting to see fish survive in the lake?
That's the next mystery. So the first mystery is why didn't they? Now the mystery is why do
they? Yeah, you don't even know why they didn't.
Absolutely. So there's Now's the fun of the detective work. There are any number of different hypotheses. In the Great Lakes, they've always suspected there weren't enough adult spawners. We've got plenty. They suspected maybe the spawning grounds weren't good or they weren't finding evidence of spawning. We've known for the last 20 years when we started working on this that there's good spawning substrate, they spawn, there's eggs, they hatch fine. So we'd reduced it to the point at which they leave the spawning site when they're about 4 weeks old and the beginning of the next year of life. So now we bring it down to you die for one of 3 reasons. You get disease, you starve, or you get eaten. Disease, I think we know what the diseases are. There aren't any.
There aren't any.
That would affect them at that age. We've got very good fish pathology data. Predation, we don't have new predators in the lake. So it's tough to figure out why now. And also, not just why now, why so sudden? Mm. We went from 0 to 25% basically as soon as we started looking. were really, I'm really thinking it's got something to do with the food, the forage base. These little guys need to feed and get enough food into them that they can make it through the first winter of life. And we're looking at diet and finding they're very dependent on one food item, which is the little thing we call an opossum shrimp. It's the mysis. Their stomachs are packed full of it and almost nothing else. Has that changed in the last 4 or 5 years? And that's the next thing to start looking at, the overlap of where we get the most wild recruits in the lake and how many of those mysis are available at that place.
How do you do that work if you're basically now trying to work backwards 4 or 5 years to figure out if there's been a change in the opossum shrimp?
This is always the problem, is you can't go backwards in time. We can't. So there are data on mysis. We know that they were very abundant in the 70s. They went through a population crash, if you will, these little shrimp-like things in the 1990s. A colleague at Plattsburgh University worked that out. They were still very low in 2011. But that was 5, 6 years ago. So has something happened more recently? Or we get different proportions of unclipped wild fish in the main lake, lots in the main lake, a few fewer in the southern part of the lake, and even less in the northern part of the lake. So maybe we can track it spatially if we can't track it over time. So if there's not many mysis in the north, lots in the main lake, moderate amount in the south lake, that would be sort of a smoking gun.
Is the aim here eventually not just to celebrate our wonderful intrepid trout, but to end the stocking program altogether?
Absolutely. I mean, the stocking, Vermont does a tremendous job with the hatcheries and with stocking, and it's sustained our fishery up till now. But the ultimate goal absolutely is to be independent of having to put fish in the lake. We get an ecosystem service for free. Why are we paying for it? So, yeah, down the road when we've got natural reproduction occurring by natural spawners, several generations, we certainly need to start looking at cutting back on paying for putting them in the lake.
Not just paying, but are there ethical questions about stocking or ecological questions about, you know, us trying to continually put a population into the lake that is not or has not been naturally surviving?
The biggest question really is in terms of predator overload. If you stock a predator in the lake, it's going to be there for the next 20 to 30 years. If we keep stocking on the top of natural reproduction, we could overstock the food supply, and that's a big concern.
I asked you if this is exciting, but what is it like for you personally to be studying these fish and then to see this? I mean, I think it's neat, like, oh, how cool, but you know, I'm not a fisheries professor. What does this feel like to you?
You haven't heard the screaming out on the lake as we catch all these fish. It's thrilling. It's like, yes, this is what we were trying to do. You know, for decades, this is the result perhaps of a lot of water cleanup and less pollution and better fish populations and less sea lamprey predation, everything coming together and saying, okay, this works.
It's the apotheosis of your career. You can end now.
Absolutely. Yeah, give me a couple more years till less spawning and then I'll retire.
That's Ellen Marsden, a professor of fisheries at UVM. Thank you so much for telling us about this pretty remarkable development for lake trout in Lake Champlain.
Such a pleasure to be back here. Thank you.